Hi, welcome to the 13th Warehouse. I'm Vicki.
And I'm Kim.
And this is Doug with the IMDb Synopsis, Season 2, Episode 8, Merge with Caution. Pete and Micah's attempt to get normal is interrupted by an artifact. Created by Brent Moat and Jane Espenson, written by Neil Scovell, Michael P. Fox, and Ian Stokes. Directed by Anton Kruper. Original air date, August 24th, 2010.
I told her I'd call to discuss the weekend. I totally forgot.
Whoa. Careful. Just don't damage the one thing that Kelly's looking forward to.
Nah, little Pete's made of steel. You go right, I'll go left.
So we're back with Season 2, Episode 8, Merge with Caution. And the artifacts of the week, there's two. The one that Micah and Pete are looking for are the Robert Louis Stevenson's bookends. And these descriptions are from Wiki Warehouse. The Robert Louis Stevenson's bookends allows two people to switch bodies. The effect is activated when the heads are switched. Prolonged use of the bookends eventually caused the two people to physically merge and then explode as two objects cannot occupy the same space. Second artifact that Artie and Claudia are looking for are Mata Hari's stockings. Contact with the stockings causes men to become infatuated with the wearer, to the point of psychotic obsession and violence. The best thing about this episode is it takes place in our home state.
Yes, it does.
Artie, I just found an anomaly. Survey says that insurance VPs in Hartford are donating big bucks to charity and it doesn't compute.
It's not an anomaly, it's a tax write-off.
Yeah, but these guys gave away 50% of their bank accounts. I mean, the most they donated before is 1%. That's a difference of 49.
Subtract one from 50.
That's why you're the boss.
Hartford.
Artie, that could be a Robin Hood artifact.
Yes, it could. And the prize for finding a case is a spin around the warehouse and Steve McQueen's motorbike.
Insurance vice presidents in Hartford are donating 50% of their money. So apparently that's something to worry about. Claudia and Artie have to team up to go to Hartford. At the beginning, on the Pete and Micah side of things, Pete and Micah get the artifact, but they don't get the suspect. They think it's a statue, but we find out later that it's bookends, and because they only had the one, they were affected by the artifact.
Right.
We see the eyes light up and their reflection in each eye.
Mm-hmm.
Pete has plans with Kelly for the weekend, and Micah has plans to go to her high school reunion. They both had plans to have a normal weekend, so of course, they get there and they switch bodies.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What year did Micah graduate?
I thought it was 2000, right?
Was it 2000?
They flashed the date quickly on the screen. I could be wrong. I meant to look at it again, but I didn't want to watch this again. I wasn't a fan of this episode. So
yeah, it looks like it.
I thought it said 2000. I could be wrong.
The reason why I'm asking is because they started playing Afternoon Delight.
That was 70s, right?
Right. I looked it up because I was like, nah. And so I looked it up. Now, that song came out April 1st, 1976.
Maybe because she was looking for the football captain, you know? Because
I said the other song they played, and I'm going, that's getting kind of fit. I think they should have picked another song for that. I just can't remember what else was being played, but said I remember that in high school.
It was annoying. It was the most annoying song ever.
Oh, God, I used to sing it all the time because it was annoying. Yeah. Like having my baby.
Oh, geez, yes. Oh, my God, yes.
That kind of threw me off, and I'm like, you know, she graduated later, so 1976, I don't know. So.
Yeah, the only reason I could think of for them playing that song is that she was looking for the football captain and maybe they were going to hook up.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This episode made Micah look extremely naive, to me, anyway. I mean, she thought the football captain invited her personally. And then she finds out that he didn't, that it was a marketing email.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mostly came because of that nice email that you sent me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Megan sent those out. We're co-chairs.
And she still is like, you know, oh, can we get together later? And just because he says, yeah, maybe later, she's all...
I don't know. I think it's that high school girl crush.
Exactly. Even though she knows he didn't email her personally, she still thinks he's all into her. Which he really wasn't. He was talking to her. He was being nice. But I don't think he was all into her until she was talking to them as Pete.
Right. Yeah. That was good. That was good. I like that part.
Yeah.
More than I like the other one, Micah into Pete.
What have I said about the Rockies all season? It all comes down to pitching.
Yep. Runs don't matter. The Rocks can't win without the bullpen.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get you a chair.
Hey, hey, hey. Too slow. Anyway, with De La Rosa and Jimenez, he has strength on the mound, but depth? Man, I don't think so.
Clearly she knows more than you guys.
Ooh, anyone want hot wings? Hey, Sam, wing us.
I'll say this up front. I'm not a fan of body swapping episodes in any series.
Mm-hmm.
Except the Eureka episode, because they blew that out of the water. They played each other so perfectly. That one I love. But I'm not a fan of body swapping episodes. And I'm also not a fan of the Groundhog Day episodes where they repeat the same. I don't know if we have one of those in this series, but not a fan of those. Never am.
Oh, okay.
As soon as I saw body swapping, I was like, oh, please. And I didn't think they played each other all that well.
I kind of like Pete when he was Micah. I kind of did, because the dude in him kind of came out. He's trying to cross his legs and, you know, he's telling them, oh, you know, wings or whatever he called them. And I thought that part was, you know, pretty good. And it was a little touchy because even being as a woman in Pete's body, he should have really knew what to say to her. What's the girl's name?
Kelly.
Kelly, yeah. She should have known what to say to Kelly, being a woman.
Right.
And you don't make promises.
Right, and we don't know what the promise is either.
Right.
Yeah.
But she's making a promise. Oh, no. I think the promise was to call her.
No, but then she left the room. She was talking to her, and she says, I'm going to make you a promise. And she's saying, no promises, no promises, no promises.
Mm-hmm.
But Pete left the room with the phone. And even at the end, Kelly was saying, what you said to me on the phone. And he doesn't know what he said to her.
Right.
So he doesn't know what kind of promise Micah made in his body.
Mm.
Everything's okay between us.
Are you kidding? What you said on the phone is the sweetest thing a guy has ever said to me.
I bet you don't even remember the exact words.
Oh, I remember. No man has ever understood me like that. I'm so glad that you're... you.
Me too.
I mean, the easy thing would be to ask Micah, so I don't know why that's such a big deal. But they played it off so much at the end with him trying to get her to tell him what the promise was. And all he has to do is ask Micah. So you could tell I wasn't a fan of this episode at all. I was going to actually ask you if you wanted to go first because I have nothing good to say. But
yeah. It was just like, it was funny seeing Artie, you know, obsessed with this woman for a minute. And, you know, it's like something had to take over Artie for him to get in the mood where he's writing poetry.
Right, but I was so uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, it was weird.
I got really uncomfortable watching him do that and watching him do that in front of Claudia.
Dark feeling.
Artie, I just found something huge.
With adorable?
Deplorable?
No, more able to passionate.
Stop writing poetry.
No, Rangel.
Artie, look at this.
Right, but then sometimes when people, they just show their feelings, they don't care.
Right. Mm-hmm. Artie's so not like that in regular life that I was really uncomfortable watching him fawn all over this woman.
Well, actually, all three of them weren't themselves. Technically, all three of them weren't themselves. So it was kind of awkward all around, because at one point I was like, huh? So this one I had to watch twice, and, you know, it was an okay episode. You know, it wasn't like, woo, you know. It was some Pete moments, but not where I'm writing something down.
Right.
The only
right.
thing that I wrote down about Pete was when the guy came to kiss her, the quarterback came to kiss her. Yeah, so he got kissed by a dude. And then Micah asked whose kiss was better, the first or the second, and he said the second. But other than that, it was just weird. Even at the lady's house, when they had the stockings, even that was kind of weird.
Yeah. The part I did like about this episode was that Claudia, number one, took control.
Mm-hmm.
Claudia figured out what to do before Artie finished with his explanation about what they should do.
Right.
You know, she was always one step ahead of him.
Yeah.
Wait, Pickles, that was just him with Terry. We should go warn him.
No, we should track him, because he could be the mojito drinker. See if you can hack into the garage cameras and then follow.
Hey, Terry? John say where he was headed?
Hanson's Bar for a drink with a client?
You should try it. They have the best happy hour clam bar.
You feel like clams.
I feel a little clammy.
Yeah, okay.
Because he takes so long explaining, you know what we should do? We should do this, blah, blah, blah. And she's already done it. She's already done something that he hasn't even thought of.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I did like that part of it.
Okay, what the hell?
Well, she must be using some kind of seduction artifact. There's so many that it could be. Valentino's cigarette. Helen of Troy's cuff bracelet. You know, JFK had a tie pin that drove him. What the hell are you doing?
Setting an alarm in case there's any activity in John's bank account.
Very good idea.
And then it doesn't tell us how long the time was between the last episode and this episode. I don't know if it was months. I don't know if it was weeks. But Kelly went from hating Pete to, like, she's all over him.
Right, yeah. Yeah, when did this happen?
Yeah, it's kind of...
And I was like, did I miss something?
She was, like, too much, I think. Way too much.
So, sure you don't want a bowl of cereal?
Mm-mm, just another bowl of you.
But did I miss anything?
No, the last episode is the one he asked her out, I believe, right?
I thought so.
Yeah, so I don't know how much time has passed in warehouse time, you know, because like when we were doing Eureka, sometimes it was months that passed between one episode and another. So I don't know how much time has passed, but she's just...
Yeah, that could have been worked in somewhere along the line. Yeah, because she didn't want to go out with him. Then he asked her out.
Right.
That was the last episode.
Right. But that doesn't mean it hasn't been months or weeks since the last episode. But still, it's just, she was just all over him, like, you would almost think there's an artifact affecting her.
Right.
Because she
that's true, yeah.
Because she just did an about face. I mean, she hated him. She didn't want to go out with him. And so she went out with him apparently whenever. And I don't know how many times they've gone out before they decided to spend this weekend together. But she's just too much.
Yeah, I was like...
Like, I would, if somebody paid that much attention to me, I'd want to get out of there. Get away
from
me.
Right, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's just like...
Yeah, that was kind of weird, because even I was, like, thrown back, and I'm going, when did this happen, and what did I miss?
She's way too much. Yeah. And then the other thing I thought was weird is that they're spending the weekend in his room in the B&B.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how awkward is that? I mean, it's not like he has an apartment, it's a room.
Well, if they're just spending the time in bed.
Well, I know, but that's like spending a weekend with somebody in your parents' house, in your room. I mean, how awkward is that?
Yeah, people don't care. I worked in a hotel business. People just don't care.
Because they have all these people living there, and it's not an apartment building, it's a room.
Yeah, people just don't care. Ooh, I could testify.
So Artie and Claudia see a pattern with the VPs, and it seems like all of them that have given their money away have recently ended their relationships, whether it be they were married and are getting a divorce or broke off an engagement. Like I said, Pete and Micah switch bodies, and most of that was, for me anyway, was predictable and uninteresting.
Micah, listen, I drank three vodka tonics.
No, Pete. I drank three vodka tonics.
Okay, so you feel my knee pain, and I feel your booze buzz.
Oh my God, Pete, I am so sorry. I would have had juice if I'd have known we were going to switch bodies.
It's going to be tough to explain in my next AA meeting.
Promise me you won't drink anymore.
Don't worry, I remember this feeling, and it doesn't end well.
And don't drive, okay? You're a bad enough driver already. I'll come get you. It's not that far.
I did find it funny that Artie does all this prep when they find the girl in the bar. Lauren, I think her name is. Lauren. And they're watching her with this guy. And the guy leaves, and then he comes back. So Artie thinks that she must have an artifact. So he does all this prep to keep him from being affected. Like, he squirts stuff up his nose. What else does he do?
He gets up to his ears.
Yes, everything. In case it's a sound, in case it's a smell... He protects himself from everything, except touch. Why wouldn't he even...
Right.
It's not like they don't have gloves on them all the time. So why would he not think about touch?
And that's one of our main senses.
Right. I just thought Artie would know better. I mean, you're protecting yourself from smell and sight and sound, and you don't...
Right. But this seemed like they never know any better.
I know.
Yeah, every time I turn around, everybody falls short. Even Pete and Micah... when they had the griffin.
Right.
You got a griffin in your hand. I know you got your gloves on. Close your eyes and put the dead one thing in the bag. But something always happens. But this is what the series is all about. The stupid mistakes they make. But yeah, I already surprised me with that one because I'm like, didn't you forget touch?
Right. They're warehouse people. They have gloves. Mm-hmm. They always have gloves.
Because he's telling her who he is.
Right.
And flashes the bag. Why don't you have your gloves on?
So it wouldn't look odd for him to have gloves on. Right. We're going to pause right here for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Doug here from Yeah, That Can't Be Good and the 13th Warehouse. If you are a fan of Warehouse 13, it is very likely you are also a fan of Eureka. If you aren't, you should be. Please join Kim, Vicky, Skip, and Doug Gramley over at Yeah, That Can't Be Good for an episode-by-episode podcast of all things Eureka. You can listen at EurekaRewatch.com on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Apparently, this girl's brother died because he needed a liver transplant and the insurance company wouldn't pay for it. So she wanted revenge. Although she didn't want anybody to die. She never thought people were going to die, which is always the case, you know, when there's an artifact. And then Artie does some asking her questions about where she got it. And apparently she found it in her grandmother's effects. Grandfather's?
Yeah, grandfather's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they figure out that it was Mata Hari's stockings.
Yeah, because I think the way it was written, Artie said it, it was her stockings. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess there was a card or something.
Yes. And Artie recognized when she was describing her grandfather that it was World War One, I think, right? I can't even remember.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yep.
And I guess, you know, he recognized the circumstances. And the card was signed by something like Margarita. Who Artie knows as Mata Hari. But again, Claudia has to save that whole mess too.
Right.
By running the stockings to get Artie and Harold to snap out of it. You know, and then Harold runs back to his wife and Artie leaves Claudia there to get herself out.
Yeah, he's counting how many ways she can get out of there.
Because even though she saved his life, he's still pissed that she handcuffed him.
Yeah.
And Claudia saves the day.
Kiddo, I want to thank you for focusing on your job and trying to protect me.
Well, I learned from the master. You know, the keys are over there.
From here, I can count 8 ways that you can escape.
Okay, look, I'm really sorry.
The spatula, make that 9. Claudia, knock, knock.
Yep, but she got to figure out how to get out of here.
Yeah, going back to how naive Micah seemed with this football player, whatever he was. When he came to the door and Pete answered as Micah, he said, "It's too late for a booty call."
I understand.
And the guy said, "Why do you think I'm here for a booty call?" And he says, "Well, aren't you?" And then he put his head down like, "Yeah, you got me." Micah wouldn't have known that because Micah's just so naive about this guy for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know? He says, "See you later," and she takes that. It's almost like a stalker. He says, "See you later," and she takes that as he's going to see me later. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, yeah.
It was just weird. It was just a whole weird situation.
Yeah, but he liked Pete and Micah. That's what it was all about. It blew him out of the water because he still saw her as his tutor.
Right.
And she was dorky and a nerd.
Right.
So when Pete kind of loosened all of that up, he was kind of like, wow, that's what he's thrown back because he's thinking, wow, this girl ain't not who she was back in the day.
Right.
Back in the day, he wasn't going to date her. It's not saying that she wasn't pretty or anything. It was just that, you know, what he had in common. Plus, he was dating that other chick anyways. But anyway, still.
Right. After she talked to them as Pete, he liked her. But at the beginning, when she was talking to him at the bar, he was just being nice, saying, "See you later. You know, you can join us over here if you want." And she was all googly-eyed, like, "Oh, he's going to see me later." So she was just like a high school girl, like you said. That's what she reminded me of. She was taking all this stuff to mean that this guy likes her.
Yeah, isn't that so annoying?
It was weird. Yeah, it bothered me. You know, especially after she found out he didn't personally invite her. She still was all googly-eyed. And
yeah, she didn't care.
Yeah, it was just weird.
It's like, ooh, the football player.
Yeah, he said, "I'll see you later." So, okay. People end conversations that way.
Yep.
It bothers me. So Artie, before Claudia has to rescue all of them, breaks into Lauren's house with a shard from the lens of the Pharaoh's lighthouse. And he blinds Howard with it. But then he says it was meant for Claudia.
Yes!
I guess he didn't know Howard was going to be there. I don't think Claudia knew Howard was going to be there.
Right.
So he was going to blind Claudia with it to escape with Lauren.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So then with Lena's help, Pete and Micah figure out that they have to switch the heads of the bookends.
Mm-hmm.
First, they figure out that they are bookends, and then that they have to switch the heads. And the security guard who they ran into when they were first trying to get the artifact from the other guy comes to the door with the artifact because he knows he's going to explode.
Right.
If they don't switch the heads back. When they were chasing the guy actually turned into the security guard, so he was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He knew who he was looking for and who had the artifact. How we found him there, I don't know. I guess the artifact maybe directs you to the other half.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe. It says it turns its head and points. I don't know. But
I think it was looking for itself, looking for the other one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because I didn't know how the guys found them in this hotel at Micah's reunion. But I think the bookend kind of points you to the other bookend.
Maybe it was showing the other one where it was.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So apparently they don't switch it in time for to save this guy and he blows up in the bathtub.
That's it up. There we go.
Yep. But Pete and Micah, who are switching back and forth, do get to change the heads in time to split them and make them two separate people.
The funny thing is, you know, it was Micah that was popping the heads off.
Pete was struggling and Micah just popped it off both times.
Yes,
both times. I did notice that. And we never see how Claudia escapes, but we're sure she did. I really don't have a lot more to say about this. So go ahead if you have anything we didn't talk about.
Nah, not really. There's nothing. It's more or less that's it.
As you could probably tell by my incoherent notes, I wasn't really a fan of this at all.
So like I said, it was all right.
I guess it was all right to watch once, but then when you have to watch it twice and make notes, I was like, ugh. Any kind of body swapping episodes, I'm not a fan of.
Yeah.
I mean, I might have gone into it with a bad attitude.
I didn't take much notes on this one. This is a one-sided page.
Yeah, mine too. So sorry, people who are listening. Okay, so we'll be back next week. Hopefully, we'll like next week's episode.
Okay.
With episode, what is it, 9? Yes, with episode 9. Yeah, so have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pete, get your hands off my breasts.
Micah, how'd you know that?
Because you're still you and I'm still me, even though we're in different bodies.
Hey, this is Doug Gramley reminding you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the13thwarehouse. On Twitter at Eureka Warehouse. On Instagram at Eureka_warehouse. On our website at the13thwarehouse.com or on Podbean. Theme music for the 13th Warehouse, Reflections in the Mirror, provided by Esther Garcia under their standard license. See you next time in the 13th Warehouses.
And now we're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.